Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us will be TJ Inman and Matt Weaver of Peaks.com to talk a little bit about Indiana's recruiting. Big news today out of Hoosier land is that four-star wide receiver Rashawn Williams out of Michigan committed to the Hoosiers. He picked IU over Purdue. He's a top 200 player, according to 247 Sports. And so it's a big day for the Indiana Hoosiers. So we'll talk to Matt. We'll have TJ on as well. And we'll see what each has to say. TJ, welcome into the show. How are you today?
Yep, doing great. I can't believe it's already, at the end of April. That's time really does fly, and the start of the season, while we do have a long, summer countdown and remainder of the off season, it'll be here before we know it. So certainly a lot to talk about. I know there were congratulations to Wes Martin on getting drafted and all the guys that were able to sign contracts and get their chance in rookie camp. So, and as you mentioned, Rashawn Williams, obviously that's huge news for the Hoosiers. So, it's the off season, but still exciting times and a lot to talk about. Looking forward to having Matt on.
Yeah, right now we're joined by Matt Weaver of Peaks.com of the 247 Sports family. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
You're doing fantastic. Big news at IU today was Rashawn Williams commits. He's the third member of this recruiting class. He's the highest rated recruit to commit to IU, and while that's exciting, he still needs to sign a letter in either December or February. But what exactly does this verbal commitment mean for IU?
Well, I mean, obviously, you mentioned, I think the second highest recruit in history for the IU program. So that's significant. To me, it's, more significant going to a state where, it's a bordering state, but it's a state where, the last few years they haven't had maybe a ton of traction or a ton of success. I mean, they've been recruiting Michigan some, but I wouldn't say they blanket the state. Mike Hart does a good job up there, but to beat out, obviously, the in-state schools up there, and then Purdue was strong with them, and Purdue's been very good recruiting Michigan since Jeff Brohm came aboard. That to me is significant, to win head-to-head recruiting battle with them, especially when you look at their offense. It's so appealing for receivers. And like I said, they've got other Detroit kids on that team, guys that he's friends with and former teammates and stuff like that. So, it's significant. And it's just, it's a headline type recruit. I mean, this is the kind of recruit that maybe makes guys take notice that were interested in Indiana, but, maybe hadn't been paying as much attention. And now that I think it's kind of an eye-opening one for him, and one that obviously, you've seen is kind of gotten some national news for Indiana to get a four-star recruit like this.
Now, what kind of player is he? Watching his tape, he's listed 6'1", about 185. He has great hands. Looked like he was the best athlete on the field in his highlight tape. Physical downfield blocker. But what other things should IU expect when he comes to Bloomington?
Well, there's a lot of things that you mentioned that, that's what I see as well. I don't know what his speed is. I think he's got good speed. I don't know if it's like, elite 4.3 type of speed, but it looks like, he runs well. It's not that he's slow. But like you said, 6'1", he seems to play bigger, in my opinion, than the 6'1", 185 he's listed at. Like you said, physical guy, great hands, can make, those tough contested catches. I like the King High School up there in Detroit. They won the state championship last year. They're a really, really good program. They play good schools throughout the season, and then obviously to win it all, you got to play good programs. So you're getting a guy who's a winner, who knows how to be a part of a championship type club. So, those are some of the things I stand out. But like you stand out for me. But like you said, the physical stuff, it jumps out on you on the tape. I love one of the things that people don't maybe talk about, but he's a really good blocker. I think you mentioned it, and that's huge. Indiana's going to want to run the ball like a lot of teams, and that those blocks on the perimeter could be the difference between, a 10-yard gain and when they had Tevin Coleman, a lot of times it was because guys were getting blocks from on the perimeter, the receivers, and those were turning into 70, 80-yard touchdown runs. So that kind of stuff, it's little. most fans don't notice it, but it's really important. And, you know, he seems to be a guy who's been well coached. He needs to work on probably his route running, but you can say that about 99.9% of high school receivers. You know, that's not a big deal, but, you know, just a tremendous kid who'll have a chance to come in and make an immediate impact.
Third commitment of the class. This class now sits like in the 50s. They jumped up 20 spots with this. How do you see this class rounding out? What other needs does IU have in this class with, they've gone after offensive linemen. That's be a priority over the next year or two. They lose after this season. You're losing Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale. How big of a priority is the wide receiver position?
I think they'll take at least one more for sure, and I would guess at least two more. I think there will be at least three receivers in this class. David Baker from Indianapolis Cecina High School is a really good prospect. They're in great shape with him. Getting a guy like Rashawn Williams, I think, would be, that would be something that would kind of make it even more appealing for him to get to play with another great receiver. Makes Indiana a more attractive option. You mentioned O-line. O-line is the real priority in this class. They're taking five. They've got, they've got one and, four more to go. And that's just a real – they've really been aggressive recruiting O-linemen, and for good reason. They need to be. They're in on some good guys. Josh Fryer from Beach Grove. Joseph Solomon from Bishop Chittard, Luke Kandra from over in Cincinnati. There's a number of guys that they're really in good shape with. They've Mitchell Walters, a no tackle. Another guy, Branson Taylor from over in Ohio. I could go on and on. There's a lot of guys that they've really made a good impression on, and they need to, because, like I said, they need to get five in this class. And it's, you're going to hit 100% on O-linemen. Such a tough position to recruit. But you need to try to make the margin for error as small as possible, and I think they're doing a good job with that. They're recruiting some good guys. D-line is not a huge priority in this class. I mean, it'll take a couple, but they don't really lose much, and they've got good numbers there. Linebacker, they've got one, as you mentioned, maybe one more. DB, Husky kind of together. I see four to five guys there, maybe like a couple safety types, a couple corners, and then like maybe like a fifth guy, like a Cam Jones or – a guy like that who can kind of move from position to position, Noah Pierre, those kind of guys. Running back, has to be a special kid. Penny Boone, who's from the same high school as Rashawn Williams, is a guy they're in good shape with, a four-star running back. They would take him, but they're not going to take a running back just to take one. Quarterback, then you'd like to get one there. Tight end, probably at least one, maybe two. So off the top of my head, that's kind of the numbers for the class. It's not going to be – I doubt it'll be a full class of 25. I'm guessing more – around that 20 range, depending on attrition, but obviously off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, you mentioned quarterback. Demetri Crenshaw from Ohio, a guy that, my amateur eye, looking at his tape, it seems like a really good fit for the type of offense we expect Indiana to run. I know Kalen DeBoer is supposed to see him this week and kind of evaluate him and see what he thinks. Do you think him or I know Higgins is a player that IU has targeted for a while as well. Are those kind of the two quarterbacks that you see standing out as the likely guys that they pursue and look to add one of those?
Yeah, I mean, they offered Evan Prater from Cincinnati, but I think they're going to – Coach DeBoer will be over on Thursday. He will be over there to see Demetri work out and throw and – we'll see what happens. I mean, I think if they want him, they'll get him. Now, it's not set in stone, but I feel good about their chances that if they want him, I mean, he seems to really have a great relationship with IU, and he seems to really, I just kind of get the feeling that he's leaning their direction. But, we'll have to see what happens. And, just from some of the things I've heard, if they get him, like they're recruiting his teammate Ty Hamilton, the D lineman, who is visiting IU in June officially and then going to Michigan the week after. I'm hearing it's a two-horse race right now between Indiana and Michigan. Getting Demetri will really, really help them with him. I mean, they're teammates, they're friends. That would be a big deal. I'm just hearing in the Columbus, Ohio area, when the coaches go into schools, they're getting asked a lot, are you guys going to get Demetri? Are you going to take Demetri? Because he seems to have some buzz over there. So that can maybe help you with a few other guys in that area. And obviously a quarterback just helps you in general. I mean, skill guys, even though they may be from a different state or a different area, they know who some of the good quarterbacks in the country are. So when you get that guy, obviously you've got Rashawn Williams, but it could help you with another receiver or receivers, you know, down the line that you're recruiting. I'll help you with offensive linemen. I mean, great players want to play with great players. I mean, there's a reason why so many programs, the really good ones, keep getting great players every year, even though that you know getting playing time at those schools is tough to come by, because guys want to play with other great players. So the more you can get, the more kind of buzz you can get going, the more momentum you can get going, the better. And, you know, obviously today is a big, big boost for the momentum and the buzz. And hopefully they can keep it going, coming up with Demetric and some other guys.
Yeah, one more thing that I wanted to ask about for 2019, Brandon Pierce, JUCO wide receiver, that to me looks like a difference maker, potentially as an inside receiver, but, you know, one major benefit to him would be the explosion he has shown as a punt returner or kick returner for Indiana. Just his raw speed looks like something you'd love to have as a late addition, and he would have 2 years to play. And then I don't know how to say his first name, but Elisea Anderson from Baylor, transfer candidate as well. I know you have written that Indiana has, to your knowledge, been in good position with those two. One, you know, do you think Indiana gets either one of them? And then two, what kind of difference could one or both of those guys make to the 2019 roster and also to roster balance as you look to add a receiver that would have 2 years to play?
Yeah, starting with Brandon, I've not yet talked to him. I don't think he's been real active with the media, but everything I've heard is that there's a pretty decent level of confidence that IU is going to get him. Now we'll see how it turns out. But I'm with you. I mean, you know, it's not fair to compare him to Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, but they're kind of similar. It's kind of similar in stature and similar in their explosiveness and speed. So, I mean, even if you get half of Marquise Brown, that's a pretty good player. But he would, you know, obviously he would give you another guy in the slot who could really, you know, along with WAP, gives you great speed. You could do different things with. But like you said, the punt return, I mean, I think, I know it's junior college, but I think he averaged, I want to say 17 or 20 yards per return, if I remember right, which, like I said, take it for what it's, JUCO. But still, that's pretty good. And it just gives you another guy that can help. You know, they need more explosive plays. They've said that. And then it does, like he said, it kind of helps. I mean, that you have – he would join a class where he'd come in with two juniors, WAP and Ty Fred Fogel. It bounces out a little bit. It, you know, from Baylor, Anderson, the O-lineman, he really helps with the roster balance, because they're really back-end heavy as far as seniors, and then they're kind of front-end heavy with freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores. He kind of slots in. He would slot in, I think, with trying to think here, Britt Beery, Caleb Jones, that class, redshirt sophomore. I think they would appeal to see if he could play right away. I don't know how that would go, but even if he doesn't, you know, he's still got 2 years starting in 20, and he gives you a guy who's played in the Big 12, started some games, can play right tackle, probably fits better as a guard, but I don't think he would be out of his element playing right tackle. So he's got some position versatility, good solid player. And it really helped. I mean, they need – I think they only got about 14. I want to say 14 scholarship O-linemen. I mean, you really, really want to have about 17 to 18. So they're still a little bit short. I mean, that's – you know, this is going to be a year where hopefully there's not a rash of injuries on the O-line, because they could be in a tough spot if that happens. Knock on wood, it doesn't. That's why they're trying to get the five. And then you had a guy like him. You know, they had a grad transfer on campus a couple weeks ago, Alex Locklear. He actually committed to Utah today. So, you know, they're still out there looking. I don't know if there'd be anybody else they'd look at, but, you know, they're going to keep their lines in the water, so to speak, and keep fishing for guys. But I would be shocked. I shouldn't say shocked. I would be surprised if they don't get at least one of those two. And I feel better about the old lineman just because I talked to him and I have a relationship with LSA. But, you know, that doesn't mean that Brandon Pierce is not as good of a chance to pop in. Yeah, it's just I don't have as much insight to his recruitment because I don't have the relationship with him, but, you know, I think both are a pretty good chance, and, you know, hopefully they can land him, because, you know, at least one definitely would be eligible this year. And if you get Anderson eligible, you know, that really helps your O-line depth for this fall and then obviously for the following two seasons.
yet. I'm not sure if we lost Sammy or not, but, you know, Pierce is a player to me that fits kind of what I think Kalen DeBoer is going for, really what any offense is going for, in that you're looking for that kind of positional flexibility. You can move him inside, you can slide him outside. Ideally, he's going to be your inside guy, though, because, like you said, similar stature to Hollywood Brown, who just, you know, was taken in the NFL's first round of the draft. You're just looking for guys that you get the ball in their hands and they can make a play for you, which is something Indiana desperately needs. You're hoping Watt Fillier can get that to you with him being back healthy. And I think Indiana has a couple of other guys coming in, David Ellis being one of them, that you hope can provide that type of ability as well. But adding Brandon Pierce, you would never say no to adding another potential home run hitter to your arsenal. So that'd be really exciting. You mentioned the offensive lineman. Luke Kandra is a player that, and I don't really, not an expert on offensive line play, but his frame, watching him play, he looks like a player that I think could come in and really be a good contributor to Big Ten level. And then I know that they're high on the kid for Richard Chittard as well. And then Josh Fryer, Alabama offer, I don't know what if that changes the game for him. Do you still see Fryer as an option for Indiana, or are the big boys going to come call on it and take him out of IU's backyard?
No, I think they're still in it. I mean, he obviously had – I mean, Alabama's a big offer, but he had Ohio State. I'm trying to think if he was. It'd be Penn State had offer too. So he's already got, I think, some kind of, you know, obviously those big boy offers. But, you know, Alabama for some kids is kind of, you know, a different level. It's kind of what, you know, Clemson's kind of joining that kind of tier too. When you get an offer from one of those schools, it kind of changes your recruitment. But, you know, he's got the family connection. Indiana's done a really good job recruiting him. You know, I don't expect him to make a decision this summer. I think he might take it into a season. So, you know, some of it could hinge on how you look on the field this fall, how you play. But, you know, he would have a shot, and I know they got some young linemen, but, you know, it's hard to play as a freshman. But he would really have a shot to come in and compete for a spot, I think, as a freshman. I've seen him in person at practice. I mean, he's got to get bigger like all kids, but lengthwise, his build, I mean, he is already a big kid. And, you know, if he is going to be an interior lineman, you know, not that it's an easy position to play, but it's obviously a little bit easier to get on the field early in the interior line than it is a tackle, just because it's, you know, you're not out in space. You're not put on an island blocking guys. You know, it's those DNs are really athletic that you're playing against Ohio State, Penn State, and those kind of schools. So, you know, he would, you know, how much that plays into his decision, it's hard to say, but I do think they're in good shape with him. I know Tom Allen and Darren Hiller and the staff has done a really good job recruiting him and his dad. And, you know, his dad's smart. You know, he plays at IU. He coaches there at Beech Grove at the O-line. So he knows what he's doing. He's been through this. And, you know, but I do think that connection helps. And, you know, whether it's enough at the end of the day to get him, you know, we'll have to see. But Kandra is a guy that they really like. You know, he's another, you know, he's a guy that, you know, part of me wonders if he's going to blow up. He's starting to pick up some offers, but you kind of hope he stays a little bit under the radar for the time being. But he's another good one. They're recruiting his teammate, Joe Royer, the tight end. He's got an IU offer, so maybe you can get a package deal there. But, you know, that's a good program. Patrick Ramsey's high school, Elder High School there in Cincinnati. So, I'm sorry, Peyton Ramsey, not Patrick Ramsey. Peyton Ramsey's high school there in Cincinnati. And, you know, so obviously you got a connection there. But, you know, O-line's going to be so important. They obviously got to get four more. And you hope you can get – you're not going to get all your top guys, but you can hope – you hope the group that you have kind of at the top, you hope you can get your four from that group. And then, you know, see how they pan out.
All right, great.
Now, they've had enough injury misses here that – Sammy, you back?
Yeah, I've been here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying – going to ask, you know, to me the field – IU's recruiting has gone up, finished top 40 last year, took a step up the year before that. Is this the point where IU has to start winning games in order to continue the recruiting momentum, or can they survive another, you know, 5-win season and no bowl game?
That's tough to say. I hope we don't have to. I hope we don't have to figure that out come December, late November. I hope that hopefully for them, that's not a something we're talking about and wondering about. I mean, they've done a great job, but at some point you got to start. Momentum is great, but it only lasts for so long. And at some point, you've got to keep it going. It's one thing to kind of generate it on the recruiting trail, but then you got to keep it going when you get to the field. And show people that not only can you recruit, you can coach and you can win games. So, I mean, could a 5-7 season cost them some recruits? I guess it could. I mean, it's just so hard to say right now. It's so far away. But I think this team has. I know the schedule's tough. I mean, the non-conference schedule is not. I don't want to say anything's a gimme, but the non-conference schedule is pretty manageable this year. But obviously, the conference schedule is what it is. When you play the Big Ten East, you got four really hard games every year. And then obviously this year you got to go to Nebraska, and you got Northwestern, and obviously Purdue every year. So, the crossover games are no cinch either. So it's, it's time to at least take that step and get that one more win. They've been so close the last 2 years. I know fans get sick of hearing it, but it's really come down to a handful of plays. The difference between a 5-win season and a 6 or 7-win season. And, to me, it's time to take that next step. You got a lot of your own recruits on the roster. And even though this team is kind of young as far as their age, it's not an inexperienced roster for the most part. You got quite a bit of experience because you got a lot of guys who played, as freshmen and stuff and redshirt freshmen. So to me, it's time to take that next step. I think Kalen DeBoer will be a big part of that. And, I really think this team's got a great shot to get at least 6 wins and carry that momentum, on in the recruiting trail into 2020 and 21.
All right. Any more questions, TJ?
No, I think Matt really touched on a lot of the key prospects I use pursuing. It's an exciting time because, the caliber of guys that I use going after and the offer list that Indiana is beating players out. I mean, you look at their offer list and that they're choosing IU over, the programs that they are. That simply has not happened in my lifetime, and that's exciting. And I think that, guys like Mike Hart and of course, Tom Allen, Darren Hiller, they deserve a lot of credit for this resurgence, if you will, or surge in recruiting. Hopefully it translates onto the field.
Yeah, it's to me, it's that time to get six. It's now nobody's job is on the line, and Tom Allen's done a great job recruiting, but it's time to, get those. And Matt, you put it politely with the non-conference schedule. If they don't go 3-0 in the non-conference this year, it's going to be shocking. Ball State is a team that IU should, roll over. UConn is probably had the worst defense of all time out of an FBS team last year. And then you have Eastern Illinois, who's an FCS program. You're playing at home. And you throw Rutgers in there as well in your Big Ten schedule. And that's four, the four should be 4 wins. And then, you got to win these toss-up games against Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue. And I really wish this is the year we got Penn State and Michigan State at home instead of Ohio State and Michigan, because those programs are both going through, their changeovers with Trace McSorley graduating, and then at Michigan State they seem to they haven't regained that form that that they had a couple years ago when they won 10-11 games. So it's a schedule that's a little bit it's manageable, but you got to win those toss-up games. You've got to, those games that have come down to a big first down late in the game or a big stop late in the game, those are the games that IU's going to have to win this year in order to get to a ball. Matt, thank you very much for joining us in the podcast today. And we'll keep if you want to keep up with the latest IU recruiting, follow Matt at Pigs.com. And on Twitter as well. Enjoy the rest of your evening, Matt.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that just about does it. TJ, some closing thoughts from you on IU today.
Obviously, Rashawn Williams is kind of the headliner, but, you know, Matt touched on just the kind of domino effect that grabbing a player like that could have. I mean, you know, you have to put yourself, attempt to put yourself, scary thought, but attempt to put yourself into the mind of, you know, a prospect, like an 18, 19-year-old prospect. You know, you're going to see Rashawn Williams, and a lot of guys, especially in this area, know who that is. You're going to see, wow, four-star receiver, you know, rated, you know, in the top, almost top 200 of his class, committed to Indiana. Wow. You know, that gets your attention, not just for fans, but for the fellow prospects as well. And the guys that already had Indiana on their list, you've got to think that that just notches Indiana just a tiny bit higher. And maybe if all things are equal between IU and another program, that maybe tips the scale for the Hoosiers. Plus, you know, he's got teammates in a very good high school program that IU's after, Buford, an offensive lineman, and Peeny Boone, who is a fellow four-star recruit, running back that Matt mentioned, IU's in good position with, and that's just going to help. So it's a big deal, one, for the player, but two, for the type of momentum that it could generate with the rest of this class that sees this as kind of a rallying cry, if you will, to join on and be a part of this. So it's a huge deal, and congratulations to Mike Hart, who was the lead recruiter for this, and his Michigan connections paying off big time. Hopefully it's a harbinger of things to come with this class. And what you want to do is you're building a program. You hear the term stack classes, and that's what IU's trying to do. They've had a couple of really good classes back-to-back, and, you know, like you said, it's the time where you got to start to see that play out on the field, and then you stack those classes and turn what has been a 5-7 team into a 6-6, 7-5 team, and build from there, and that's where it's got to start.
Yeah, TJ, you're exactly right, and my closing thoughts are, you know, on this. While Rashawn Williams is a great land for IU, they need to build around him, hang on to him until December when you could get him to sign a letter of intent, and build this class around him. Right now, they sit, as of this morning, at 52 nationally, 11th in the Big Ten. If they could get up into that top 25, into the top 25, top 30 area, you know, top half of the Big Ten, and get to a bowl game this year, your program is making strides on the field and off the field, and that's something that fans should be excited about. And then on top of that, you also have a six-year streak of playing in the NFL draft. So IU's no longer that school where you don't have a shot at going to the pros. You had Wes Martin go in the fourth round. You had three more guys pick up free agent deals as well. So you have a nice little contingency of IU football alums that are now in the NFL. A handful of them are on their second and third contracts, and it's now becoming it's not the desert wasteland that it used to be. And now you could attract some bigger prospects by saying, "Hey, you can make it to the NFL." Without having to put up ridiculous numbers, you could still make it there without being invited to the NFL Combine by putting up a solid pro day, like Wes Martin did. So IU's becoming that, you know, they just need to win on field to become that middle tier Big Ten program where guys could consistently go to the NFL. You consistently go to bowl games, and, you know, your recruiting classes are somewhere, you know, between 20 and 40 year in and year out. And this will be, if IU's class is in the top 40 this year, that'll be three consecutive classes that you're stacking, and the future seems pretty bright. So, TJ, thanks for joining me today, and enjoy the rest of your Monday, fall camp should be right around the corner soon.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Our countdown series starting up here pretty soon, so we are excited for that, I know. And we'll have lots of good off-season content. I know we're going to be talking about some different hot topic issues, if you will, in future podcast episodes. As, you know, today's recruiting news kind of took precedent, but we'll get to those things. So if you have any of those ideas, just shoot those to us on Twitter.
Yep. Thanks, TJ. Enjoy the rest of your evening. That does it for today's Hoosier Huddle podcast. As always, check back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We're in the process of making a change to our podcast to bring you a better quality podcast that you, the fans, deserve. So if you have any suggestions, I know audio quality is one of the priorities we're looking at and are open to and all suggestions on that. And enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. We are about a month away from starting our 100-day countdown, and we'll have, as TJ said, a lot of preseason content, preview, team previews, positional previews, opponent previews, as well as you know, profiling all the players on the IU roster as well, and whatever recruiting news comes up, as well as some national stories. We'll talk about the transfer rule, new rules that are going to come into play next year on the field, and much, much more. So if you have any topics, college football topics, you'd like us to talk about, please send them over to @Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter, or email me at thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com.